Explicit content. Please use caution while you are tuned in.
The following program is an all-language show which includes open discussions on topics related to the LGBTQ plus community and beyond, including, but not limited to mature subject matter such as sex and sexuality, personal experiences, and more. We aim to create a respectful and inclusive space for all. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the producers and this outlet. Stay tuned for thought-provoking conversations and so much more.
Hi, I'm Syeda Garrett, co-writer of Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mr. Mark Tara.
Today on Rainbow Country, Donna Summer, Cats Without Claws. That and more in episode 447, so stay tuned. The Gay Talk Radio right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, this is Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Harder, porn star, burlesque performer, and the creator of Porn to Be a Star. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Welcome to a brand new journey through Rainbow Country, as I like to call it, a little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community and beyond. And as always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm producer and host, Mark Tara. By the way, Rainbow Country originates from CIUT-FM in Toronto, and now proudly in syndication across Canada from coast to coast to coast. The Yukon, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, the east coast of Canada in Newfoundland, Ontario, even down to Buffalo, New York, and online. And welcome on board Nova Scotia, to be exact, Liverpool, Nova Scotia, on QCCR-FM. Well, thanks to you tuning in, streaming, downloading, but ultimately listening. Together, we continue to build Rainbow Country into a nationally syndicated gay radio show, as well as being recognized as a number one Canadian LGBT podcast. So today, a celebration of the 40th anniversary of Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws, the 12th studio album from the Queen of Disco herself, originally released on September 11th, imagine that, September 11th, 1984. This Grammy Award-winning album was originally produced by Grammy Award winner, legendary music producer, Michael Omardian. So, Cats Without Claws had three singles. There Goes My Baby, a cover of the 1959 single from the Drifters. Donna's version of There Goes My Baby peaked at number 21 on Billboard's Hot 100. And by the way, there's a great music video for that song. Check it out online. The other two singles were Supernatural Love and the UK release, Eyes. 1984's Cats Without Claws was released essentially hot off the heels of 1983's Grammy Award-winning album, She Works Hard for the Money, also produced by Michael Omardian. Cats Without Claws would earn Donna Summer a Grammy for Best Inspirational Performance for the ballad, Forgive Me. That brings us to today, the 40th anniversary edition of Cats Without Claws. From UK's Demon Music Group, overseen by global commercial manager Michael Nidas and Crimson Productions. This remastered release will be available as a 2-CD edition, a 2-LP edition on hot pink and white color vinyl, as well as a combination of both. There are 5 new remixes from 4 producers that have taken select songs from the original 1984 album and brought them into a whole new century. We'll hear from remixers and producers Ladies on Mars, Shy Boy, and Seventh Heaven. The 40th anniversary edition of Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws officially drops April 18th and will be available wherever you get your favorite music. Plus, coming up in Hour 2, music from LGBT artists, independent artists, voices that we've come to know and love in classic disco, classic 80s, classic house. And on this episode, I'm featuring some queer Christian music, as well as a 3-song Cats Without Claws set. All that lies ahead as we start Journey 447 through Rainbow Country. Coming up, legendary UK music producer Steve Anderson, who's worked with the likes of Westlife, Britney Spears, and A1, Kylie Minogue. He joins me to talk about his involvement in Cats Without Claws. But up first, a short clip where the legend herself, Donna Summer, talks about how she came up with the title, Cats Without Claws.
I used to be on the streets of New York sometimes walking around, and I'd see people on the streets. And one day I was talking to a priest. My brother-in-law is a priest, and he had a friend. And I asked him, what could I do? You know, what could you do for these people? And he said, well, a lot of them are just, you know, they're just really down and out, and they're almost helpless because they don't want anyone to help them. And so I said to him, well, there's got to be something that we can do. And he said, well, you know, they're just cats without claws. And I thought it was a great title, so I stole the title.
Hi, everybody. This is Gino Vanelli. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Forgive me now.
Steve Anderson. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I am well. I'm even better now that you are here. So thank you for being here, especially to talk about your involvement in Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws, the 40th anniversary edition. Cats Without Claws was originally released in 1984, is a Grammy-winning album, winning Donna Summer the Best Inspirational Performance for the track Forgive Me. So here's my first question for you. How did you get involved in this 40th anniversary edition of Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws? How did this come about for you?
Well, I've been a massive Donna Summer fan for as long as I can remember.
Yay.
And I mean, hugely, just not only her songs, but her voice. And I still think it's one of the best, along with Whitney Houston. It's one of my favorite voices of all time. So it's a kind of bit of a dream come true for me, really. But the main reason that this came to me is that Michael Needus from Demon, who obviously puts these reissues together, worked with me the year before on an album for a singer called Claire Richards from Steps, and which I produced. And that was kind of big, kind of disco or kind of anthemic songs, covers, but reworked for kind of now, really. And one of them was, we did a version of No More Tears with Delta Goodrum. And I sort of, which I do, I love the original anyway. And but I'd heard so many covers of it where they'd just done it like the original. I wanted to change it up a bit. And it was a risk because obviously it's a beloved song and a beloved version. But amazingly, Bruce Sedano had heard it and loved it. And I think between that and me working with Michael, they thought when it came to Cats Without Claws, they thought maybe I would be a good person to be involved in the remixing. So Michael called me and kind of said, listen, do you want to do this and, you know, do a remix so you can take your pick of the album? And I then listened to the album, re-listened to the album, because it's not one that I remember as well as some of the other albums. And there were some obvious choices, and I thought, well, there were some choices where I thought, okay, I could do something with that. But then, of course, at the end, you have this gem of Forgive Me, which is a classic Donna vocal and not much else. And I just really warmed to that and had this crazy idea that I could turn that ballad into a disco anthem with a lot of kind of trust, I guess, from Michael and from Bruce, because it would need to be, obviously I'd need to speed it up a bit. I wanted to have a new background vocal arrangement, new strings, you know, basically just change it into a disco spectacular. And amazingly and brilliantly and thankfully they trusted me to do it, and that's how it came about.
So you remix the Grammy winning Forgive Me, a beautiful ballad originally on the album. So how did you come to the decision to do it, to do that particular song, especially in a dance vein, because it is a ballad? How did you just listen to that song and the a cappella over and over and over again to get inspiration on how you would take it in that direction?
I pretty much heard it from the moment it started playing. I kind of, my brain works in a strange way in that I had, as it was playing, I was hearing the arrangement in my head of how it could be. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, really in that classic Donna Summer way of when she would take Could It Be Magic and turn it into a dance song, it felt like a natural thing. And there's obviously been incredible house and club remixes of ballads, you know, Unbreak My Heart's a great example of a ballad that turns into an up-tempo. And I realized it was a tempo where I'd need to kind of speed it up a bit, but then I had particular ways of doing things to keep the vocal intact. Obviously, the vocal is the most important thing out of everything. But as I was listening to it, I was sort of converting it in my head into how it would turn into that. But ultimately, going back to what I said, ultimately, I was only doing to it what Donna Summer had done and her team had done before when they'd made things like Last Dance was started as a ballad, and Could It Be Magic started as a ballad, and it's just doing a classic disco version of a ballad, which is what Donna Summer was kind of known for.
So this song is a beautifully done ballad. It's a Grammy-winning song. Were you nervous or apprehensive at all about taking a Grammy-winning ballad and essentially discofying it, for lack of better words? Were you nervous or apprehensive at all?
I was, because I have such a huge respect for her as an artist, and I knew that it had to get past, you know, many people, including Bruce. So it
Bruce
was
Bruce Sedano, her husband.
Yeah, exactly. And the label and everything. So I did, but I've been lucky enough over the many, many years that I've been doing this to have remixed and worked on sort of lots of songs from lots of different genres and reworking them. So I kind of felt I had it. I knew I wanted...
Like you had a template, so to speak.
In my head, yeah, I kind of knew what I wanted to sound like. I knew I wanted my friend and artist, Terry Ronald, who's a great producer and background vocal arranger. I knew I wanted a new background arrangement on it, and I knew that would help, because obviously on the original there's just Donna's voice and a piano, so it needed that. So I knew I needed to record that. I knew how I wanted to kind of structure it, and very nervous, because I don't want to do a bad job, especially as kind of this is the one I've been leading up to. I'd never worked on anything by Donna Summer before, and it was too important to get wrong. So yes, quite nervous about it, but I had a kind of assurance in my head that I knew the world it could live in, and they were very gracious in letting me do that.
So you just mentioned creating some new background vocals, whether you want to call it a chorus B or a chant or whatever. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, that is
how did that come about?
Well, that is all the creation of Terry Ronald. So I've worked with Terry for many years, and he's another huge Donna Summer fan. And, you know, the day that I called him and said, do you want to do some background arrangements for Donna Summer? He, you know, nearly sort of fell off his chair, but because he's a huge disco fan as well. So we always knew that we wanted that gospel kind of section in the chorus. But then because it's such a short song, it needed a B section. And so I just put down some bass, some chords, as you'll hear them, the instrumental stuff in the background of that. And I just said to Terry, can you just think of something, a kind of Donna-esque background riff that was in keeping? And that's what he came up with.
So how long did that take to create that new section, essentially? Was it just
not too long? I mean, we were in, so there was two of our incredible backing singers that I work with a lot, and that they were in, and we put down everything else, and then we had this middle section, and then we just put, it's the usual thing, you put down the basic, you know, the kind of Forgive Me Now As I Forget That thing, and then you just add a harmony and add another harmony and add another harmony, and before you know it, you're there. So that's Adetone Oula and Bianca Claxton, who were doing the backing vocals on that. And again, you know, having the best time of their life. And the whole day was just, everyone was in a disco. It was fantastic.
And that really shines in the extended version, the long version of the song.
Yeah, I love doing those. I mean, it kind of goes back to my Brothers in Rhythm days, I suppose, when we were doing remixes. But, and on this, you know, I'm allowed to do a whole bunch of stuff on this. You know, there's pianos and strings, and I'm, you know, obviously I play everything as well. So there's a joy to it. And and I think just the idea of remixing Donna Summer, I wanted to just show off all of the bits I can do as much as possible. But the main thing was the vocal. It had to work, and it couldn't, even though I was speeding it up a bit, I worked really, really hard on making sure that all of her vibrato stayed the same and it didn't sound awkward or it didn't sound weird. I wanted it to sound as authentic and honest as possible.
Random question. You mentioned at the beginning of our interview that you're a fan. You like Donna Summer. You love Donna Summer. Have you ever met her?
No, absolutely no, I haven't at all. And I suppose it was, at her height, it was, I was probably, you know, kind of young, but I think I might have seen around the time of the Stock Aitken and Waterman record was kind of the time that I was at that point where I could have, like, I might have been able to see her around and stuff. But no, I never got the opportunity to meet her, no.
Okay, so whether it's being a music supervisor for a music theater show like Becoming Nancy, mm-hmm. or it's writing hit songs for the likes of A. Kylie Minogue, mm-hmm. or it's remixing tracks, or in this case, a particular track for an iconic artist like Donna Summer. Here's my last question for you, Steve Anderson. It's simply this. What do you hope your audiences come away with after they've experienced the artistry of Steve Anderson? What do you hope your audiences come away with after experiencing you? And all that you entail.
Well, I mean, you know, firstly, as I've said before, it's a small cog in a big machine. But I would say when it comes to something like the remix, when you're going back to Donna Summer, which is predominantly her vocal and everything else is what I've done, I just hope they would come away with the same joy listening to it as we had creating it. And I think that goes the same for pretty much anything I do. I put everything I have into what I do, and when people react well to it, I was very fortunate. I saw some lovely reactions from people for Forgive Me, which you just never know, because people, as you say, it won a Grammy. People love the ballad version, and sometimes people don't want you to play with things. But I just hope that they come away, pretty much with that joy and happiness and love for the music, because that's, we've had so much fun making it. So if they come away with a small amount of that, then I've done my job.
Steve Anderson, well said, well done, well remixed, well recorded. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. Well done.
Lovely,
to you.
Lovely to talk to you, Mark. Thank you so much.
Was my edited interview with legendary music producer Steve Anderson. The full Steve Anderson interview goes to air Tuesday, April 29th, where we talk even more Donna Summer. For all things Steve Anderson, simply visit steveandersonproducer.com. When I return, we'll hear from UK remixer and producer John Dixon from Seventh Heaven and Argentina's very own remixer, producer, and artist, Ladies on Mars. Plus, we'll hear a short clip from the 1983 talk show, Thick of the Night, with Alan Thicke. Remember Alan Thicke? This clip is where Alan catches up with producer Michael Omardian and Donna Summer in studio during the recording of Cats Without Claws. That up next.
Hi, I'm Agnes. My new record, Magic Still Exists, is out now. You are listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
This is gay hip-hop artist, the Mangfather Bob Katz. An artist friend of mine recommended that I check out Mark Tara's Rainbow Country years ago, and I've been enjoying it ever since. Mark's excellent interviews highlight all aspects of the LGBTQ community, and he's not afraid to ask the difficult questions that other hosts avoid. And I love, love, love the music that Mark plays on Rainbow Country each week, especially when he plays my music. But seriously, Mark Tara has been such a supporter of my music and has turned me on to so many great LGBTQ artists that I'd never heard of before. I'm so grateful to Mark Tara's Rainbow Country.
If you, or maybe someone you know, would like to be a guest on Rainbow Country to get the word out about an upcoming project, maybe you have an interesting story or journey to share, well, simply head over to marktara.ca where everything is connected and send me an email. It's just that simple. And you too can have your voice and your story be heard coast to coast to coast.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola, and I'm an actor and a writer, and I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station specifically for our issues to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And of course our artists and the things that we do globally and to talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So, support. Tune in. Thank you.
I'm Billy Newton Davis, and we're sitting here on Rainbow Country with the fabulous Mark Tara.
Hi, it's me, Alan. No, I didn't. But I got your message that you would be busy recording and it was going late, but we were able to get over here and handle any talk show emergency. Brought my own chair. Hi, Michael Omardian, who is Donna's producer. And Michael, a great producer, a genius. Some of the people you've recorded with.
Well, I just finished a Rod Stewart project and Christopher Cross. Of course, Donna.
All right.
Favorites.
Spoken like a proud papa. Wait a second. We have all the equipment here. It is so good of you
on?
To pardon me. I know
doing?
That I haven't seen
I'm
you
recording.
For a while.
I'm in the middle of recording.
I know.
I mean, it costs money.
Donna Summer, spending money here and recording live. And what a moment this is of recording history. This place, by the way, too, is the walls are alive with recording history. Some of the people who record here, the Beach Boys, have made hits here. Linda Ronstadt. Who? Mamas and the Turtles.
And the Turtles?
Yeah, Fifth Dimension.
Great. So, and now you're making more hits. Donna Summer, more platinum stuff. Going, I have a record going styrofoam now. Just a little joke, but I guess it doesn't matter, because I know you have to work. Michael, if you want to go back and work.
Yeah,
and Donna,
so
thank you. This is so... I think it's a debt, yes.
A debt must be paid, right?
Mm-hmm. Works Hard for the Money was kind of an anthem, like I Am Woman was years ago.
It
means something. Well, I am not now, but that was a part of my past that only Donna could know. What are some of the things you're dealing with in the new record?
Well, you know, I'm just recording what comes to my mind and my heart and my spirit. And we have one song called Susanna, which we like a lot. We're about to record that now, as a matter of fact. Well, Susanna is just about a girl who, you know, has been out and about and has not been acting like a nice young lady. And mm-hmm. I'm reprimanding her a little bit, of course.
Ladies on Mars, Jonathan Braverman. Hi, hello, how are you?
How are you, Mark Tara? Thank you so much for having me again in your radio show. It's, for me, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Oh, it's honey, it is my pleasure for you to be on my show. So welcome back, especially to talk about your involvement in Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws. You end up remixing two tracks in particular, Oh Billy Please and Susanna. When you were listening to the original 1984 version of the whole album, did you end up choosing those particular two tracks, or how did you end up remixing those tracks?
Well, the first choice was Susanna because my mother's name is Susanna.
Okay.
So I for me has a little story, but only with the name. And I really like the track because it has a lot of powerful, you know. And it's something very, very danceable. In the first beat, you want to dance. So invite you to dance, invite you to get up. So that track touched me in the first second. And then I really like the intro about Oh Billy Please. And the first time I listened to Oh Billy Please, the original is more focused on the rock side of Donna Summer. But when I listen, I say, oh, this is a really new disco and pop song that need to go directly to the dance floor. So in the same time, I think I need to remix this track and make a new direction, more focus on the new disco and the clubs, but not the techno, not the house, because I don't want to lose the original vibes of the track. You know, my style is not to change radically the track because I don't feel that way. If the producer and the musician make something, I think the producer or a mixer that has to make a new version has to be inspired by what the original producer and musician did. So I try to take that and transform in a new sound, more modern, and take it to a new level.
And working on these two particular tracks, how long did it take for you to do that, to remix them?
Depends. If I'm inspired, maybe in one day I can have it. But I need more days to, you know, to make the arrangement, the final arrangement, the perfect mix, you know. But maybe the idea comes in one day.
Mm. So in regards to your particular remixes on those particular tracks, Oh Billy Please and Susanna, here in 2025, compared to the original versions from 1984, how would you say they differ?
Wow. For me, both tracks are more powerful. For me, I think, have more power than the original. And I think are...
Do you think that they have more of a distinct style in 2025, like more...
Yes, of course, yes. And the bass lines are more in the front. And I think I'm trying every year to evolve my sound. And as you can see, I have a lot of synthesizers. And I'm trying to use more hardware and not too much software now. So I'm every year I'm trying to make a different mix, use a little different sound, but without losing my style, you know. So I want to do something different from what I did in the other album of I'm a Rainbow, Recover and Recover. But at the same time, I don't want to lose the style of Ladies on Mars. So, you know, it's...
So you want to put your own distinct stamp,
yes,
on whatever it is that you're working on?
Yes.
I have to say, Ladies on Mars, Jonathan Braverman, well said, well done, well made, well produced, well remixed.
Thank
you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks to you, and well, I hope to see you again.
just heard from Argentina's very own DJ, remixer, producer, and artist, Ladies on Mars, a.k.a. Jonathan Braverman, who you can find at ladiesonmars.com.
Hi, this is Michael Anthony Alago, music executive, photographer, author, and you are listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Talk to me about how you got involved in this particular project. How did you end up working on Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws, the 40th anniversary edition?
Yeah, sure. So I'm part of a remix team called Seventh Heaven, which is myself and Andy Wetson. And we've been remixing pop songs and club songs for almost 20 years, I think, in various forms. And Andy is, he's part manager and he's part kind of captain of the ship, if you like. So he has a lot of contacts in the industry and we're always looking for projects to be involved with. And we have quite a large history with, you know, fairly big artists, people like Cher, people like that. So Andy's always, you know, kind of in contact with the industry and looking for opportunities to remix and mix and work with artists from all over the world. So this project, I think he got wind of it quite a while ago now. And he first mentioned this project to me, must have been, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago now. And of course, we're both massive disco fans, basically, disco music, house music, disco music, anything from the 70s to now is just our bag. So, I mean, Donna Summer doesn't really get much bigger or better, really. So, of course, as soon as he mentioned Donna Summer, it's like, yeah, absolutely, want to be involved. You know, tell me more about it, basically. And I think over the coming months, you know, little bits were fed to me. And the result was we ended up mixing one of the songs for the album, basically, which, you know, to say it was an honor is an understatement. I mean, you know, just amazing to remix Donna Summer. I mean, you know, it doesn't get much better than that, really. So yeah, that's how it came about. And of course, we were delighted.
You guys end up remixing a song called Free, a great song, love it.
Yep.
How did you end up picking this particular track on
I didn't. This was left to Andy. I'll be really honest with you, I didn't know the song. I know lots of Donna Summer stuff, obviously. Obviously all the big hits that everyone knows. I didn't know this song. So it was a new song in many ways for me, which was interesting because obviously it's part of musical history. So that was a slightly strange one, but a challenge because, first of all, I had to acquaint myself with the song.
So when you first heard it, what did you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, I basically just sat and listened to it for 3, 4, 5 times just to get my head around it and to put myself in that era of that sort of music, I guess.
Because you have to admit it has a bit of a Caribbean feel to it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's... You know, it's a process. Obviously, you listen to it, and the very first time you hear it's obviously all new, and you just take it in, and you're trying to work out what the inspiration for it was, and kind of what you know what makes it tick as a song, as a piece of music, before you can even start to consider remixing it. So yeah, it's a nice thing to be able to be involved in, you know.
So remixing, producing. Mm-hmm. Producing, mm-hmm. remixing. When you're
when you're taking a track, when you're remixing a track, mm-hmm. and especially from an established artist like Donna Summer,
yeah.
and you're putting your own stamp on it,
yeah.
do you think of it as a remix, or do you think of it as production? You're producing a track. The only difference is this comes with pre-existing vocals, an a cappella. So yeah. how do you look at it? Do you look at it as a remix or as production?
It's a grey area now. I still think of it as a remix because obviously I didn't produce the original record. I didn't produce the vocals, obviously. All that was done many years ago. So I'm taking somebody else's work essentially and reworking it. So I suppose for me, even though the only thing that remains is the original vocal, I still think of it as a remix. I mean, when I first started doing remixes, you would literally take everything and, you know, kind of, you might speed the whole track up and add some drums, but it was essentially all of somebody else's elements. Where nowadays a remix can be, as you say, in some ways a full production. You know, you can do everything. You can do the entire music backing track, but it's still a remix for me anyway, because it's based on somebody else's work that was originally the original version of that record. But it does sometimes cross over, because obviously, you know, it also, is it a cover version? Well, it's not a cover version because it's the original artist. So it's a interesting area. And I also produce as well. So I'm perfectly happy to record vocals and work artists on original material. So, you know, the skills involved in doing both are quite similar. But I still think of it as a remix. If I'm taking somebody else's song and somebody else's performance and somebody else's production. I mean, even though the producer who produced Donna Summer's vocal, that's a skill, you know, and that's done at the time. So it's not my production. That's how I see it anyway.
So John, here's my last question for you. And it's simply this. What do you hope your audiences come away with after they've experienced your musical stylings, whether it's a remix, whether it's one of your original productions, whether it's, you know, Donna Summer's I'm Free? What do you hope audiences come away with after they've experienced John Dixon, whether they know it or not?
Yeah. Well, of course, a lot of the music I make is meant to be heard in a club. And I actually don't really go to clubs. I'm not a club girl at all. But I do create these 8-9 minute long kind of club mixes that I hope, well, my aim, my intent is to take someone on a journey, basically, and you know, with the builds and the drops and all that sort of stuff, and to, you know, going to a euphoric sort of climax, if you like, at the end. Of course, nowadays clubs tend to play, you know, 2-3 minutes of each song, which totally ruins it. But historically, you know, the idea of a 12-inch club remix was 6-8 minutes long, or even longer. And I think if anything, what I try and do is take people on a journey, so that, you know, by the end of it, it's a total high, basically. It's a natural high. And I hope that's what I do when I do a dance remix. That's my intention anyway. So that I think that, you know, to take someone on a journey from nothing to 6-7 minutes later with a great song, hopefully good production, and you want to dance, obviously, that it's dance music, so it's got to make you want to dance. If it does those things, then I'm happy, you know. That's my goal.
Well said. John Dixon, well said, well done, well remixed, well produced. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
British musician, engineer, producer, John Dixon from Seventh Heaven, who you can find at 7hproductions.com. When I return, remixer and producer, Shy Boy. Up next, a clip from 1984 where British TV personality Paula Yates talks to Donna Summer about supernatural love.
Your records seem to have changed quite a lot because they went from being sexy sort of disco records into things that perhaps were more aware of women's roles and the way women live. Do you think that was a conscious thing? Things like She Works Hard for the Money and Bad Girls and...
Well, yeah, I think it was pretty conscious. I've always been very socially aware of what's going on around me. And when I first started writing, I think Giorgio and Pete and, you know, the record company and everything, they had much more control and much more say. But as I became more and more successful, I began to have more say-so in the things that I was doing. And I began to tell that to my producers and that I wanted to sing about those things. And actually, Bad Girls had been recorded, for example, 2 years before they would allow me to release it. And because they didn't think that it was a song for me. Okay, it was the biggest song I ever had as far as, you know. And it was very interesting because it really did a lot to change that image. It sort of gave me a more of a, what is the word, subjective. Well, no, it didn't make me so much the object. It made me sort of the teller, you know, and it sort of removed me a little bit from all of that, which is great.
What's supernatural love like?
What is it like?
Yeah. Do you think it's a sort of meshing now between love songs and religious songs and all sorts?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
a sort of double-edged meaning now.
Absolutely. I think that everything in my life has a double meaning. I mean, I'm just so incredibly conscious of the power of God all the time in my life, constantly. I mean, when I get on a plane, I don't cease to thank God that he's keeping it in the air. You know, I mean, he's everywhere with me. When you travel a lot, you become very dependent on God because there are things that happen that you have no control over, and you hope that you're in his favor.
Arnold, a.k.a. Shy Boy. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Mark Newbar, a.k.a. Mark Newbar. Hello.
Hi, Mark.
How are you, Mark?
I'm the other Mark here. I'm good. Thank you. I'm doing very well. How about you?
I am well. I am better now that the two of you are here, especially to talk about your involvement in the 40th anniversary edition of Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws. Jason Arnold, let's start with yourself and let's find out, building from the ground up, how did you get involved in this particular project? If you can talk to me about that, how you guys got involved in this particular project.
Well, I've been a Donna Summer fan since I was very, very little. And then when I started DJing and doing remixes, I just started DJing her stuff and remixing her stuff, bootleg style, of course, at first. And I believe the people in the places of powers that be heard those remixes and wanted me to do something official, which I was more than happy to do.
To the point. Okay, so Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws was originally released in 1984. It's a Grammy-winning album, winning Donna Summer the Best Inspirational Performance for the track Forgive Me. You guys remixed the song Supernatural Love. And Mark Newbar, let's get your take on this. How did you guys settle on this particular track, on this particular song, Supernatural Love? Why this track?
Well, you know, like Shy Boy here just said, I'm a huge Donna Summer fan ever since I was a little kid. And
he's a bigger fan than me,
which is very hard to beat. How is that even possible? But yeah, we're both huge fans of Donna's, and I love all of her work. I feel that her 80s stuff, you know, in its moment, really could have been so much more recognized. It's just her voice was just, as always, in top form. And Supernatural Love was a personal favorite of mine from Cats Without Claws. And I remember it was the second single, and there were high hopes for it to be out there on the dance floor and be out there in the zeitgeist. And when we were talking to Michael at the label and putting together the remix, it just seemed to be the natural choice. Also because we're both DJs. We throw dance parties, and Supernatural Love seemed like a natural fit for the dance floor in today's times. I mean, Donna's music is timeless, but it just felt, we were very excited to remix it. So that's how we landed on it. It just felt like it was the right new disco moment, a rework of a classic of hers.
So Supernatural Love, you mentioned earlier, was the second single from Cats Without Claws. The first one was There Goes My Baby, and the third was Eyes. Those were the three singles. In 1984, Supernatural Love reached number 75 on Billboard's Hot 100, number 39 on Billboard's Dance Chart, and number 51 on Billboard's R&B Chart. So I'm not sure who to address this question to, but you guys can fight it out. Were you ever maybe nervous or apprehensive about tackling a song from an artist that you are both fond of and putting your own unique take on, especially music and material that has such a big fan base? Were you ever apprehensive, nervous about putting your own take on a beloved artist's material?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the excitement outweighed any anxiety I felt. I'm also, I'm a DJ, so I DJ for the dance floor. I DJ for people. It's not just all for me and what I want to hear. It's what the dance floor wants to hear. So I was very excited to be of service to the song and to the dance floor.
Well said. Well said to the two of you. Shy Boy, Mark Newbar, thank you for your time. Well said, well done, well recorded, well remixed and produced. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Heard from remixers and producers Jason Arnold, aka Shy Boy, and Mark Newbar. By the way, you can find Shy Boy at shyboy.tv and Mark Newbar at thespacemanagency.com. The 40th anniversary edition of Donna Summer's Cats Without Claws officially drops April 18th, and will be available wherever you get your favorite music. But you can stream some of the singles that are available right now.
Hi, I'm songwriter and producer Jim Valance, and you are listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Taking us to hour two of Rainbow Country, Oh Billy Please, remixed by Ladies on Mars.